Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have Joe Puz with us with the PMO Squad, and he is also the show host and show host and sponsor for a widely popular, and actually I think it's number one rated on several platforms, the Project Management Office Hours. Welcome to be my partner in crime here today, Joe.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to join you and be in the passenger seat today instead of driving, but it's great to be here with the guest today.
Yeah, midway through the conversation, at some point we can get out of the car and and run around the car and put you in the driver's seat and I'll sit passenger. But we are, the reason why Joe is with me today is that he had reached out and said, hey, you've got to know the folks over at HA Tech.
Absolutely. Great connection with them through the Arizona Tech Council. And after hearing their message, I said they'd be fantastic to have come on and share their story with all of your listeners. So excited to talk to them today.
Yeah. So when Joe is usually here for his show twice a month, I'm just off mic and not saying anything. But today we're going to tag team. And so with that, let's welcome the HA Tech team, leadership team, that is, John Hathaway, CEO and founder. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Garen. Thanks for having us.
Our treat. And Tabitha Waring, customer service lead. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
You bet. So thrilled to have you both here today. So let's get started with a brief overview about HA Tech. And I know you've got a couple different places that you've been and your development. Just start with a brief summary of who you are and who you serve.
Okay. So we originally started in Las Vegas. So we're in our fourth year. Now we have 14, 15 people working for us. We opened up a new office here in Tempe, Arizona. We spent 6 months looking for the right place, the right vibe. We're very, very team oriented, very culturally driven. So we wanted really cool places to go for lunch and dinner and invite people out. So we chose Mill Ave, fantastic location. And what we've been doing is working with a number of companies, everything from startups through to banks, helping drive a DevOps culture with inside their organization. And DevOps to us is really all about driving product delivery. In summary, if you have an electronic product of some description or software, the goal is to get it into your customers' hands as quickly and as reliably as possible. And that's what we've been doing. We've been doing that very successfully. That's all we do. And so we've been doing that for companies such as City National Bank and some great companies in town here. And you know, that's really been our bread and butter for 20 years of IT experience, sort of boiling down into this last 3 years.
And so you started in Vegas, as you mentioned. What brought you to Phoenix?
Okay, so obviously, we're not native Nevadans. The accent might have given it away a little bit.
Texas, right? Texas.
Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We've toyed with Detroit before. That doesn't go down
too
well.
Same bad sense of humor, Joe.
So really, we've got customers all over North America. So we've got customers in California. We've done some work in Colorado. We've been up to Washington. And really what we're looking for is, you know, where is the next logical place for us? Where is there a lot of growth? Where is a lot of talent? And where are there some of the traditional IT challenges that people are having? Vegas is a fantastic place. But there's really only a couple of different industries in Vegas. We wanted to sort of start exploring finance and insurances and healthcare. And plus, because it's our first sort of satellite office, we wanted to be close to Las Vegas. You know, we're 45 minutes away from a flight perspective. And, you know, I can drive there in supposedly 4.5 hours. Yeah. But ultimately we wanted to look at that. And so we spent a lot of time last year visiting, trying to find the right sort of mix of people. And what really impressed me about Phoenix as a whole was just how accommodating the people were. It has a very sort of young vibe. And then you've got some like really old city component like Gilbert and those areas that are just historically amazing. And we just sort of really gelled with the people here. We identified that, everyone wants to get something done. You know, people are working, they're invigorated. That just breathe some energy into us, you know. And so, you know, that rapidly became our number one spot for us where we were looking to expand into. Denver was very close.
I was going to ask, what was a second runner up?
It was Denver.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an outdoors person. I grew up on a farm back in the UK, hand reared sheep and goats and strange things, you know. So, you know, being outdoors, having access to, you know, the mountains and the climate, that was something that I was passionate about. But from an accessibility perspective, we already had customers in here in Phoenix that we've been working with since the first month we opened. We've kept that customer here. So 3 years later, there's still a customer here in town. And so it just naturally just sort of kept on growing from there.
It made sense.
And you said UK, just to clarify, that's not University of Kansas or Kentucky.
You are absolutely correct. Yes.
So what's, again, getting to know you a little better, right? What's that backstory of getting from the UK here to the States?
So it kind of started probably about 2008. I just came out of running my first business. I had an industrial accident. I severed the nerves in my right hand. And, you know, I failed to put, you know, certain things in place in my first business. So I had to wind that down. It was an incredibly valuable learning experience on how to scale and how to put the right people in the right places. So I ended up working for Rackspace as their lead solutions architect over in the UK. That got me into the cloud side of technologies. So I was working, you know, with what used to be Mosso back then, Slice Host, all these different cool cloud technologies. And 2007, 2008 was obviously a very interesting time for the economy. And so as we started looking at all these people, moving them out of the traditional data centers, moving them to cloud, I ended up going through 3 or 4 different companies. I ended up going through Novell, SUSE Linux. I ended up at Computer Associates. I ended up being one of their lead solutions architects. One of their customers was International Game Technology, based out of Las Vegas. I get a call on a Sunday saying, John, I need you in Las Vegas tomorrow. It's not going the way we thought it would be. Your flight's at 6 o'clock. The most expensive plane ticket I've ever had to purchase, like £16,000 to fly me a 4 hours notice.
Jeez.
To Las Vegas.
Must have been a big problem.
It was a huge problem. It was a very lucrative opportunity for Computer Associates. I'd only been in the company 6 months and rapidly had to learn all this technology. Flew over, sort of got the project back on track, and then it went quiet. And I get a call about 3 weeks later saying, they love you, can you go back? And I ended up in Reno for a while. And so I'm working on the project there. I ended up being the project lead on that project. What ended up happening, the CTO at the time, a fantastic guy called Chris Satchel, who was the CTO of Xbox before going to International Game Technology, and then was one of the CTOs at Nike. Now he's like, John, no, a fellow Brit is like, we want you to come and work for International Game Technology. So in the contract is my name. We will do this deal as long as John relocates to the US. And International Game Technology were really good to us. They sponsored my visa. They sponsored our green cards. They sponsored my whole family, relocated my whole family. And, you know, we had a great 5 years working with them, both in the UK and the US. And that's kind of how we ended up in Nevada.
And the springboard too for you to say, gosh, I'm ready to do my own thing.
Well, there's this amazing thing. A British accent opens a lot of doors in the US. And so
you all just seem so impressive.
Yes.
There's just something official about the accent.
And some people call it pompous, but official's good.
Official and proper. And I would never have said pompous. That doesn't resonate with me. But yeah. But proper, this professional, and because we are at least Arizona, and I think Vegas too, we're kind of lax. And I want Joe to tell his story a little bit about coming from Atlanta to here, because he had a similar take on it. But you just have this, you carry yourself so beautifully, I think. So
I can literally go into a meeting, say hello, 30-second pitch, and they're like, okay, we're gonna take note of what this guy's saying. And you know, it does give me a very unfair advantage.
I love it. Hey, admit it. And he just did. So
yeah, maybe,
nothing wrong with that.
Maybe I need to travel to the UK and use my American accent.
I can promise
there,
you it
would
won't
work.
Have the same
no?
impact. Yeah,
oh,
not going to happen.
It was a good thought.
And even less so in France. So, yes, Tab's giving you the evil eye like she's right. So you uproot your family, you move to mm-hmm. Vegas. And so I'm going to bring Tabitha on because not only is she your partner in business, but also partner in life. Mm-hmm. And what is that like for you? Had you all ever thought that you might come to the U.S.?
It was completely out of the realms of what we'd really considered. It was strange. I grew up back in England, obviously, surrounded by American families. The area that we lived was over in East Anglia, and there was a lot of Air Force bases around there. We were church people, so there was tons of American families. I loved it, the American culture, everything. But not once would I have even dreamed of the possibility of actually relocating here. It's been fantastic and everything I hoped it would be. So aww. Thank you.
That's great. And while we've got you on the mic, tell us about what you love about HA Tech and really your role. I mean, you play a big role in the company.
I have played a number of different roles. Marketing lead, I'm kind of taking that role right now too, as well. So really, the customer success side of things is really very, very important. The establishing new relationships, new connections, just reaching out, offering people, you know, lunch, let's get together for a coffee, or, you know, and then we extend conversations, we work on partnerships moving forward. But making sure that my customers are actually moving forward each week on a project, getting involved in their project update calls with their stakeholders every week, just making sure everything's going as smoothly as possible. There is a lot to it. I need to know exactly what's going on. I may not have the ultimate pulse like John and the team would have, but so far as moving forward, new opportunities, what have we uncovered that we could actually add more value to the customer in this existing project, and different things like that. So it is a very important role. And it's something that, you know, I have to stay on top of all the time.
That's great. And obviously so important to the success of your business. Going back to kind of the intro that John had given us, and you talked about DevOps, right? It being at the core of what you do. Help describe that in layman's terms for everybody who's listening to ensure that they have a common understanding as you, and to help them understand maybe we need that. Because they maybe aren't as familiar with it.
Yeah, so if you look at your traditional software development life cycles, or even rolling out IT technology, you know, there's a very sort of waterfall approach to getting things done. You know, you are very dependent on the next person. They might have their own priorities. And originally things like agile frameworks are brought in place to try and make some of that a little bit easier, and, you know, try and get everybody on the same sort of workflow. The interesting aspect of that is DevOps is kind of that follow-on to things like Agile, where you can only go as fast as the people you have in the team. And so what ended up happening is people moved from, you know, waterfall-based development and went to Agile, and then realized that they broke their business because they were generating so much software, or they were generating so many IT projects, they didn't have the way to deliver it further on down the line. And so DevOps really came about with this view that, no, let's build a collective approach on how to get things out of the door. And you know, at a very basic level, instead of having a development team and a deployment team, your development team is your deployment team. You know, you're joining two different roles together, hence the name dev and operations. So development and operations coming together. So at a very fundamental level, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about how can I enable developers and IT staff to go faster without having to understand or necessarily deal with all the complexities, but they're in the control seat of when to release software, how to drive the software, and building around the mechanisms and the processes around being successful in pushing that software out the door. And then as you take it to more of the extremes, you start talking about things like automation and systems orchestration. Where a lot of people fail is they go and get and purchase automation software and then think they're doing DevOps. DevOps is more about people than it is about the technology. You can do DevOps to begin with, and we encourage people to do DevOps. and just looking at your people and your processes, you know, rather than going and buying tooling. Tooling's only going to be there to help you go faster. That's really what it's there for. And it's to minimize mistakes and take some of the human components out of it. But similar when we've been teaching people around agile frameworks, we get people to use post-it notes instead of buying Jira or buying, you know, going straight away to use Trello, because psychologically there's something very important that takes place when someone has to get up in front of everybody and move their story around physically. Mm-hmm. DevOps is exactly the same. No, we look at the culture of the team and we look at the culture of the organization first, because without a good culture, it doesn't matter what tooling you're going to buy. It doesn't matter what you implement, without having a collective sense of success all the way from things like product management all the way through to operations. You know, the tooling just becomes another silo. It just becomes another way of doing things that has its own problems and its own challenges. So for us, DevOps is really all about how do we build this continued value chain from through the business, but concentrating on the culture and the roles that the individuals play, and then applying technology on top of that once you understand what DevOps means to you as an organization.
And do you become a service for them, or are you teaching them how to do that internally?
A little bit of both. And again, it depends on the culture. So one of the things, and Joe, you've probably seen this problem as well, being in more of the project management space. You know, people go and read a book and they adopt the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll go and, you know, ITIL was a great example. Hey, I'm going to go on this ITIL course and I'm going to adopt ITIL the next day.
Yeah.
The entire business breaks down straight away. And so depending on what the appetite is for the customer and what they're really trying to achieve, a lot of companies don't have the skills internally. And so what we help is we help mentor them. We help build the processes. We train them. But our training is all around delivering value straight away. So the first sprint we're in that organization, we're teaching them how to automate. We're showing them the value of automation. We're showing them the value of working collectively together, and leading by example. And that's really what most of our role is mentoring and leading these individuals and showing them what can be done. Other companies don't really want to build DevOps. They just want to build software. That's all they want to do. And they give it to us and we manage the release cycle and we manage the operations for them. You know, philosophically, that's not what DevOps was intended to be. But when you look at the idea is the fundamentals is how do I get my software out the door reliably and as fast as quality allows me to do? How you put those pieces together has to fit your business vision and your strategy at the end of the day. So you have to be a little bit flexible rather than going down the staunch philosophical route that you must do it, you know, in this way that this book has told you to do it.
Yeah, interesting description. And in June on my show, we have Kim Curtis coming on, and she has a process that she calls PM Ops, right? Mm-hmm. So it's obviously the cousin of DevOps, right?
Yeah.
But it's the continuous evolution within our industries of focus on delivery, and how do we have that mindset to be able to help organizations do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of organizations are starting to realize, you know, if you look back at the organizations that were successful throughout 2000, 2001, and 2007 and 2008, they weren't the ones that were the most technologically advanced. They weren't the ones that, you know, had some great team leads. The companies that survived are the ones that had a very, very strong team culture. And DevOps is all around the strength of the team. It's not about having a fantastic team lead and he's the only one who knows how to do everything and you've got five other people who do what they're told. The concept is you're all equals within that team. You all have the same investment. And so a lot of what we're teaching people is that collective responsibility that the team succeeds or fails together. There is no, I save the team or you're the reason the team failed. You have to move beyond that from a culture perspective. And if you can get to that culture perspective, then the team is far more valuable than the sum of the parts.
Right. Yeah, I love that. So I'm curious, HA Tech, what is HA?
So this is kind of like a drunken weekend. So needed to come up with a company name. Surname's Hathaway, H-A-T, but let's play around with that. Let's see what happens. What we provide is kind of like this umbrella, which is why our logo is an umbrella, like, you know, helping organizations. We sort of shield you from things that are painful. You know, so what it eventually came down to is high availability technology. That's ultimately what it came down to, that we specialize in building high available cloud infrastructures and how we automate and build that. So our whole organization was around not just building something the first time, but how can I build it the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth? How can I build an exact replica of this with a press of a button? And that's really where HA Tech started. Was let's automate what we do, everything that we do, and so that our customers benefit from our collective services across all of our customers.
It's not automating for the sake of automating, because the human component is so critical, of course, and you model that in your company and, of course, extend that to the folks that you're working with.
Absolutely. I mean, our golden rule of automating is if you can't show me how to do it manually, I'm not going to automate it. Automation doesn't solve anything. You know, automation doesn't fix bad processes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Automation just makes bad processes fail quicker. And sometimes that's valuable. You know, in Agile, we talk about, you know, failing fast and everything else. You know, but what you're really looking at is how can I go as fast as quality allows? Now, people look at going as fast as they possibly can. You know, we want to do 600 releases today. You know, they throw this random number out there. The problem is when quality starts dropping off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you look at DevOps, people just focus on the systems automation piece. They're missing the developer component and the developer's experience. You know, what tools and environments should he be using? How can I help him into his development environment? How can I automate monitoring? How can I automate auto remediation when something fails? How can I bring the service back up as quickly as possible? How can I automate testing? A lot of testing is still manual. You know, we still do what we call happy path testing, where we're only testing what we expect the software to do, not what the software should be doing. And so there's a whole raft of things that are involved within inside the whole umbrella of DevOps. And DevOps really is just bringing that all together, but trying to bring it together as one team, one initiative within inside the organization, rather than the traditional silos that we all have to deal with.
So another Vegas stalwart is Guy Fieri's restaurant. And he has show with Triple D, right? Diners,
oh, yeah.
Drive-ins, and Dive. But you guys have your own Triple D, right? What is your Triple D, and what's that all about?
So our tagline is drive, demonstrate, and deliver. So we drive change in an organization. We demonstrate excellence with our own team, and we deliver results to all of our customers. So those deliverables that we discuss and have down in SOW, you are going to get those deliverables 100% guaranteed, unless something changes on your end. You know, so yeah, drive, demonstrate, deliver. It really sums up what we do. And we're very dynamic in how we do that.
Yeah. That's clear.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing, so we invite customers to come and work out of our office. You know, it's fantastic being here in this co-working space. You know, we started off at a co-working space in Las Vegas. You know, and that's where we were for probably a year. You know, there's eight of us in this co-working space, and we're like the third biggest company, and that's really cool. And you know, all those things start coming together. But what people realized is just watching how we work together. You know, at the end of the day, yes, it's my company. But I focus more on being a leader within the organization than the managerial side. I want people to replicate who I am and replicate how I work with people. As we look at that, our customers, we invite them to come and work in our office. They'll see how we work on projects, how we do things. And the strangest thing occurs is that becomes what they remember the most. Now, we can go in and we can build this amazing automation and automate pipelines end to end and get software out the door, you know, quicker than they've ever done before. The thing that they remember is how we worked with them and the team that they worked with, that our team all feels the same. You know, they're all individuals and all have their personalities, and we've got some characters in the team like everyone. But the difference is our philosophy is the same, how we work with the team, how we serve our customers. And for us, you know, we don't have a sales team, which is really fascinating. We are 100% relationship driven. No, we just build relationships with people. We're just good old fashioned sales when you think of it. But we demonstrate through the sales process. We demonstrate through building those relationships who we are. You know, there's never ever a hard sales pitch. This is who we are. This is what we do. it's up to you. It really is. And every single time we've done that, you know, we've grown, we grew 300% last year. This year, we already closed the same revenue as we did last year. We are 100% in growth mode. And that has just purely come through just being genuine people. You know, we genuinely want to help you, you know, and you're going to pay us for the value that we give you. That is very, very simple when you boil it down. And we don't miss deadlines. No, we work hard. We say it's going to be done by a particular date. We will get that date done. If I have to put four extra people on it, if I have to do something amazing, we will hit that deadline. And we've never missed a deadline in the last 3 years.
And most of your business referral based then?
100% referral based.
Wow, that's awesome.
100%.
Yeah. So obviously three D's, but also an F, three D's and fun. Clearly you're all about fun as well.
You have to get the balance right. Then the great thing about our team, and Tab can tell you this as well, is, you know, we work really hard. You know, we really do. But we have a lot of fun. We went to an escape room. We flew the team in here and team leads in here. You know, we basically spent the whole weekend together around our house. We're drinking, eating, we're, you know, trying to get out of escape rooms. It was interesting.
Did you get out?
Yes.
We did.
We did.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we did.
That's good news for a DevOps company.
Right. If you didn't get out, that might have been a problem.
Be worried.
Yeah, not very good at problem solving. You know, but I mean, that's part of who we are, you know, and I think, you know, for us, part of our culture is, and we're as the leadership team, we're the first people that are going to jump in to help. You know, we're not in an ivory tower. We're not pointing the finger. Something goes wrong. It's like, okay, what needs to happen? My phone rang like 20 to 12 last night. It was one of my team leads. Hey, we've got this problem. Sorry for calling you. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Hey, just do this. If that doesn't work, give me a call back. You know, everybody in the team has that very consultative internal approach to getting problems done. We just have one rule. The one rule is, if you take time away from someone else's project, you owe them back that amount of time on theirs. And it just kind of just balances out, you know, and that stops people just sucking the life out of those specific team members. You know, they know they're going to have to pay back in. You know, it's kind of like a bank account. You know, you take money out and you have to pay it back in again. And that's how we've built our team and built this incredible team in Tempe and in Las Vegas. That's how we survive. And that's how we get so much work done.
Congratulations. It's exciting. We talked before we came on air around how we do things here at Business Radio X. We're all about reciprocity. And really, that's what you're describing as well, right? The referral-based business, 100% referrals. That's your client saying, hey, we really love who you are with us, so much so that we're going to tell other people about you. And obviously, in the internal team, this accountability piece. Hey, we're happy to, you know, everybody's got to reach across the aisle and help each other out. And when you're asking for help, we're going to reciprocate that and
Absolutely.
Make sure. Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely.
Well, what stands out to me too is you've empowered your team to go drive results, right?
It's yes.
The empowerment and because we have purpose-driven PMO where it's empowered people drive results.
Absolutely.
As opposed to managing resources to deliver projects.
Yes.
You take it down to the personal level. And I bet, obviously, as your customers come and work in your workspace, they feel that, right? They get to see your culture at play.
Well, I mean, I think this is the big difference between leaders and managers. I've never been a strong manager. You know, I've always been much more of a stronger leader. I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to get my hands dirty, roll up my sleeves. And I think that's exactly the answer is, you know, when people know, when they know that they have the covering of their leadership team that, you know, I'm going to empower you to make these decisions with inside the project realm. And the reason that works, and probably the same for the PMO squad as well, is, you know, there's always unwritten requirements. You know, and if you're just trying to deliver a project, you can still fail and miss the goal of the project because a lot of the time the customer doesn't really know what they're asking for. And it's only through the life cycle of that it really becomes clear. And so if you have a very tight confined and you're really managing your staff, then they're only going to deliver that one thing. Our staff work with the understanding that you're not working on this contract. You're working on the next one that we're about to sign. You know, that's the customer service. That's how embedded we want you in the team. We want people to know who you are. We want people to phone Tab up and say, hey, Tab, is Jarvis available? No, we have a Jarvis on the team. He's the only Jarvis that I know in the world. But but no, we want Jarvis. And that's an amazing thing where people are like, I want these specific team individuals because they did such an amazing job last time.
And I love that because you spoke to that. Your very last experience working for somebody else, that's what they said. We'll sign this as long as we've got John Hathaway on this. And so you've brought that into HA Tech. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and for the employees and for your teammates, that really make, I mean, I know for me, I've got to be part of a team that really values who I am and is going to help me grow and aspire to be something greater than myself and also put some guardrails around where I'm headed. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
Well, I mean, HA Tech is my vision, but I can't do all the work myself, you know, and so the way we hire, the type of people we're hiring, we want them to be invested in HA Tech. We want them to understand this is your career. You can, you know, we're a 3-year-old startup. You can go anywhere with inside the companies. And, you know, you see a need, let us know. We had one guy join us last year, Kyle Neese, fantastic guy. And he started in one role. You know, 6 weeks later, 50% pay rise, go do this instead, become my business analyst. And he's done an amazing job with that. But we're looking for that. We're not looking for people to stay in their role. If you're still in that role after 6 months, we missed the boat hiring you, you know. So we're looking for those individuals that want to develop and want to grow and bring solutions to things that we need to address that we haven't had a look at yet. They're not on my radar. No, I'm on the strategy side this year. How do we scale? How do we build? You know, I trust my team leads internally to bring this information back and say, hey, we've got this problem. This is how we can do that. But they have that culture of, you know, I can go and talk to John. I'm going to talk to Tab or have seen this problem. How can we solve this? You know, and that takes so much of the pressure off that, you know, we basically go to work as one big family. We get a whole bunch of work done and
go have fun.
Go have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your future then. What is the vision for HA Tech?
It's quite interesting. I mean, you go out there and you read some like executive leadership books and they give you some metrics to sort of to grow your business by and everything else. I mean, you know, I have no aspiration to be in any other cities. I have no aspiration to have a big team whatsoever. You know, what's really important for us is that as we grow, we maintain our culture. You know, we were looking at some additional office space in Las Vegas yesterday, and I took one of my team leads over there, Anthony, and he's like, no, I don't like it. It's like, okay, you know, that's great. Why not? It's not going to help with the culture. It feels divided. That's the kind of relationship that I want with my team leads and my staff. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, where do we want to be? We want to do what we're doing now. You know, we have a number that we talk about that we will never go above that number as a company size. You know, everybody knows that, you know, you can only have a relationship with 120 people and then it starts deteriorating after that. I already know 120 people, you know, and 14 of them work for me. So, you know, the reality is at some point there's going to be a trade-off. When that trade-off starts approaching, that's as big as we'll get, you know. I think, you know, for us personally, yes, we moved. We moved to Arizona. But from a future aspect, as long as we just meet the needs of our customers and stay relevant, that's really all our strategy and our goal is. We'll grow because of that. We'll be successful because of that. We have a 50% increase in headcount this year because of how successful we've been. But we grow through that necessity, not because I have this grandiose plan of, you know, having 500 people work for us and being a $1 billion company. I don't have that as my vision. It has to maintain our customer quality and it has to maintain the value that we bring.
Obviously, a great discussion for potential customers to understand about you guys. But Tab, you had mentioned partners as well, right? So if someone's listening and they're thinking, well, maybe I'm probably not a good customer for them, but boy, I love the way they operate. I'd love to partner with them. What does that look like and how does that work?
Well, we have a number of partners set up already. We are a little picky and choosy about who we work with because ultimately it's our brand, okay? But we also we don't want to intrude and dilute anybody else's brand that they're also building as well. Partnerships moving forward, that whole reciprocity that you're talking about, you know, I get vendors hitting me up in my email, my inbox, like every couple of weeks. Oh, by the way, you mentioned XYZ opportunity. How are you doing with that? It's like, bring something to me as well. You know, let's have this work.
An actual true ways. Partnership.
Exactly. Yeah. Not I don't hear from you for 6 months and then you're all over me for some reason because I mentioned something like 3 months ago. Partnership with us, you can work with us a couple of different ways. We can be fully transparent with your clients, and we really like that with partners. If there's something that is not in your wheelhouse, but you've identified that there's definitely a need and an opportunity with your existing customers, if you're comfortable, then introduce us as a partner. HATech. Don't say, I have this great team and here they are and we wear your t-shirt. We can do that. It depends on your end client, but primarily we do like to stay transparent. We think that's the best for the customer and it helps build up your credibility with your own client as well. The fact is, you know, I'm not an expert at DevOps. I don't know what I'm doing, but I've got this great partner that I'd love to introduce you to. And they do know what they're doing. They have a proven track record. They are award-winning in their space. And then we go from there.
Yeah, and I think the other interesting thing is we have a partner enablement strategy. So we train people up in what we do. We look at where we complement. You know, we've got a great partner in the Valley called Terra Verde. And, you know, Ed there was kind of one of the reasons why I really started looking at Phoenix very seriously. And when you look at how they operate and you know, Ed's vision and everything else, it sort of kind of rubbed off on me and, you know, with a lot of what we do. But, you know, that's one of those sort of reciprocities that we're looking at where, you know, they don't do what we do. We don't do what they do. You know, if they have someone that needs DevOps or if we need someone that needs, you know, security managed services, well, that's a perfect example of where you're very openly talking about opportunities. You're very openly talking about potential target accounts that you could jointly work on. And that's where they're the partnerships I enjoy, where you're strategizing, how can we build this joint venture that we could take to this potential customer. But we have partners, you know, East Coast, Midwest, and they all have their own niche. And to build on what Tab was saying, what they've noticed is we don't want to white label you, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to walk into your customer. They're going to look me up on LinkedIn. I don't work for you.
Yeah.
LinkedIn has kind of killed all of that.
And thankfully so.
Any one of my guys, you're going to like, you know, Jordan. Jordan's fantastic. He doesn't work for you either. He works this company called HATech. So you're going to get rumbled within the first week. Yeah. Because people are going to be like, wow, we're getting somewhere. And so when you're very transparent in that way, it actually builds more credibility with your customers. If you can turn around and say, you know what, this isn't a strong suit for us. This is our chosen partner here. This is what they do. That's where the true sort of partnerships come into play. We've had some partners that try and bolster their own services with us, but they still badge it as their own. It doesn't work because what happens is our culture and the way we work is so different to that partner. Mm-hmm. They're like, who are these people?
Yeah, clearly.
Why haven't you introduced them?
Yeah.
Why haven't you introduced them to us before?
Yeah.
Because that's a really hard question to ask, you know? Yes. So you've got these challenges that come through. But, you know, we work with many, many hardware vendors. AWS and Azure are two of our biggest, you know, from a vendor perspective. Great. They're here in the Valley, which is fantastic. But yeah, we have people that do traditional data centers that want us to help automate that. We have people that just do Solaris, AIX, this old stuff that most people don't even know exist now. No, that's all they do. And we sort of add some wrapped services around that for them.
It's been almost a year, but Joe, remember we were out at Syntec with Arizona Small Business Association.
Yep,
and we got to do a brief interview with Terra Verde. It was Mark Dalmier. But I don't know if you know him or not, but it's fun to give them a shout out because we are familiar with them. And we had a great conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun to learn a little bit more about their business as well. And again, I think the three-year-old startup that you kind of called yourself comes through in your culture, but also in your partnerships to help everybody know we're pushing forward, not with the traditional rules that you kind of have in the business world, but we're always pushing forward to be successful, right? It ties back into your triple D as well, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very transparent to me in this discussion that everything that you do starts with your culture.
Absolutely.
And your people. And then that comes next with your partners and your solutions. And it's fantastic to hear how you start that way. And at the core of what you do is your business. And it isn't even the service or product you offer. It's the who you are. Mm-hmm. So I think it's awesome to hear that.
Yeah, I think if anyone ever wants to build a business, you've got to build something you're passionate about. So many people chase revenue. And people start off with startups and they start off with doing one thing really, really well. And then they start diluting their offering over time. They start chasing opportunities and chasing revenue. We've been very staunch that this is what we do. We'll partner with other people. That's how we'll grow that part if we need to. And I think, our team and our culture works because we're all geeky at heart. None of us want to do the same thing twice. We're all lazy, so we're going to automate it. And at the end of the day, it's who we are is coming through in our work because we enjoy what we do. We're passionate about it. So it's not even like going to work for a lot of us. This is just who we are. This is what we do. If you look back like 200 years, you didn't work 8 to 5 Monday to Friday. You were the same person at midnight. If you're an armorer or something, that's what you did. That's what you were known for. That's where our surnames come from. So it's very interesting when you start looking, how we've westernized our jobs versus who we are, that we try and drive two things between them. We call it work-life balance. The reality is your passion, if you can realize your passion through who you are and make money from it, then that to me is what success is. You're not trying to be someone you're not. You don't suffer from imposter syndrome or anything along those lines. You're just naturally being who you are, and people value who you are as an individual. And I think our team works because we value each one of our team members and what they bring to HA Tech and how they've made us better by working with us.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that. March 3rd was 6-year anniversary for the PMO squad, and I say I haven't worked a day in those 6 years because now I'm just doing me.
Yes.
24/7 me, don't ever have to go to work. And it's a very liberating feeling, right? To be able to go do what you do. So I appreciate that part as well. It's very interesting, the commonalities we have there.
Yeah. It's just interesting. People follow, media, they follow, what's going on in the world, and some people, it's not going to work out for them. Some people want to clock in and they want to clock out, and that's as far as they want to get. But I think, there's that entrepreneurial aspect that you are what you do. You can't divide the two, and I think that's where a lot of people fail. We read how many startups fail, each year, and Vegas has an incredibly high number of failed startups. The reason being is they're building it for the wrong reason. People buy from people. And if you don't trust that individual or you don't feel their passion in what they're doing, you might do some business with them, but there's always something in the back of your mind. And I think that's the real difference. If you want to build something and be successful, it has to be you. You are your own brand, and that has to come across in what you sell and what service you're providing.
We talked a little bit before we got on air about Joe's show and kind of how he came to be a host and a sponsor. And that's obviously the magic of this conversation on air. When we get to spend 60 minutes with business owners and entrepreneurs and get to hear from you, what makes you tick? What's the magic that you bring to the customers that you serve? It's transparent. It's all right here. And that's why we provide this, because it is who we are 24/7. So I appreciate you highlighting that, because it's the very reason why we have the platform in the way that we do it.
I think also, just to take a little bit of a side trip right now, because we're talking a bit about startups. Karen, you're going to be speaking at Phoenix Startup Week, I think, Friday?
On Friday, yeah, 1:30. We're also doing a live broadcast. Are you guys involved in a startup? I've thought of you several times as we're chatting. We need to make sure you're involved next year.
No, we haven't been involved this year. We've been trying to find our feet.
Okay, right. Well, I think if you want to know from Joe and I, you've got your feet, you're grounded.
Okay.
And next year we'll make an introduction. Over 150 speakers, three different locations throughout the Valley this week, and it's an annual thing. The team is Startup Week team is all volunteer, amazing group of people. Mike Jones is one of the co-founders, and he has his show out of our studio, AZ Brandcast, and his company is Resound Creative. I'll be speaking on the art of the connected conversation, which is all around really the magic of what we're just having a conversation. That's what we do. And there are some little tips and techniques around how to be with people, which is what you both have spoken about throughout our entire conversation today. Love on people. Like if I could go in and just walk in up on stage and say hello and say the art of the connected conversation, love on people, drop my mic and walk out, I'd be good to go. A little bit more finesse to that. But it really is about caring deeply about who you are, the vision, the mission, the purpose, and helping lift people up and move them forward. So yeah, thank you for the shout out for that. It should be fun.
You're welcome. And now taking that one step back towards HA Tech, you both do that with your dude, right? DevOps on Draft, right? That again, it's forming the connection and giving you an opportunity to get in front of the people and build relationships. What's dude right. all about?
So DevOps on Draft is something I dreamt up. We have been running like the AWS and DevOps meetups in Vegas for a while, AWS for over 2 years now. And we wanted to do something similar here in Phoenix, but the feedback we're getting is like, ugh, another meetup. You know, it's just three people in a room talking
but
about
beer, but put you know, beer in there.
I know. So we decided we were, as it's, you know, this is kind of a new venture for us with our new office. We really wanted to introduce ourselves to the local community, the tech community as much as we can, inviting our customers, our vendors. So we decided to do an extended happy hour. All of my team love a beer or three. and this is an opportunity for anybody involved in the tech space who's interested in DevOps, interested to know more about what we do. This is not an opportunity for solicitation, recruitment, sales pitches and presentations. That's not what this is about. This is literally about making connections with people. Let's do it over a beer. Let's have some nachos, some mac and cheese, who knows? And just come and talk to my team. We are flying a couple of our engineers in as well from Vegas. There's going to be about eight of us there. It's co-sponsored by one of our vendors, Dynatrace, as well. They love hosting and sponsoring different events with us. They're a great partner. But this is down at the Americana Bar on Mill, which actually is directly underneath our office.
Oh, perfect.
Ironic.
Happy coincidence. that is on March the 14th from 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Anybody is welcome. Please go to our website, hatech.io. It's there on the front page. Click on that, the graphic, and then please just register. We have swag to give away. We have some really cool exclusive like printed tankards that we are bringing down from Vegas with
What's
us.
What's a tankard?
Like a beer mug.
Oh.
Yeah. A nice big 16-ounce. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Steiner. Exactly.
And the most important thing is we're buying all the beer.
Yeah, and
okay,
it's free, okay? So it's all...
That's
it's,
the most
it's,
important thing.
I've already registered.
Yeah,
and I'll be one of the first, won't you, Jay?
Well, free beer didn't take much convincing.
Yes, exactly.
I hope to be there, and as long as I check my calendar and I can be there, I will be wearing the swag you brought me, because they've got these fantastic DevOps or these dude shirts with two beers. Yep. Clanking together. Next round is on us. It really, after getting to know you for this last hour, it just speaks volume, this opportunity to just connect. And I love that you have put some guardrails around what this evening is about.
Yep.
We have to do that, right? We have to manage the expectations. Come, get to know us. If there's a fit, we're going to feel. And if it's not, hey, you've had a couple beers on us and move along and we'll both be, you know, better for it. But if we don't kind of put those precursors in front of us, sometimes people show up and they're just not themselves. They're just trying to push their agenda. Yep. And that goes back to, that's my entire talk on Friday for that 45 minutes I'll be with folks. It's just how do you be with people? Because as entrepreneurs, and business owners, we want to get the word out about what we're doing. And we're so passionate, most of us, and driven about that, whether it's for the bottom line or moving our mission and purpose. We can't help but to want to lead with, gosh, you got to know all about me. Mm-hmm. Although there's times that it's just too much and we've got to do this. We've got to connect. So we appreciate the opportunity to come do that with you.
Yeah, we want people to be genuine with us as well. You know, we're going to share war stories and, hey, do you remember that time we blew that up by mistake? You know, that happens. We've all done that by mistake. You know, we want those war stories. Yes. That's what builds those relationships. You know, the reason why we as a team go out for team lunches and everything, there's something about, you know, eating with people and drinking with people and just, you know, getting them out of the environment that, you know, sort of builds those relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea behind Dude is we're doing it every quarter.
Oh, good.
So we're going to pick a different place around the valley. You know, so we're not sure where the next one is. Tab will have that by the
14th. I can help you with that. Okay.
But, you know, you guys got some great microbreweries. And so, you know, Americana, we work with those guys. So it's only microbreweries that are going to be on the actual menu that night. So, you know, we're still working our way through the list of like 40, I think they've got. I'm like on number 3. and so, you know, that's really what it's all about. Just this is who we are, making ourselves very accessible, very honest, genuine people that we're just passionate about doing certain things.
Love it.
So what's next, right? I know, again, before air, we were talking about how just, you know, you're going through a crazy time getting established here and getting mm-hmm. settled and you're going to get your feet set here, and then what's 2019 bring?
Well, so most important thing, I'm one of the keynotes tomorrow at the DevOps Day. So if anyone wants to go on to Eventbrite, have a look on there. So at Choice Hotels, they're hosting the DevOps Day. So I'm the second speaker there tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about scaling DevOps in the enterprise and some of the challenges that we've seen. So you'll get to meet some of the team tomorrow. If you want to come say hello, feel free. I'll be the guy on stage at some point. But you know, I think, you know, for us, you know, we're building out our partner base this year. You know, so we're all about scaling us and scaling what we do as a company. You know, we've been so concentrating on scaling our customers and automating. This year, we're really refining our processes and what we want to do to give us that next 3 years and 3 years of growth. You know, we're going to do some fun things this year, and you know, having an ice hockey team in Vegas was fantastic last year. So, hey, we have ice hockey here. That's great. You know, the whole joke of you can't have ice hockey in a desert because there's no snow. Well, we had like 8 inches in Vegas. So, you know, we have snow. So we have ice hockey. You know, so we're big ice hockey fans. So, you know, we're going to be doing lots of those types of events as well. Just getting people out, come spend time with us. Let's go do something fun. And again, some of those will be with vendors and partners. You know, we're hiring aggressively in the Valley as well. So most of our sales engineering and lead sales staff are going to be based out of our Tempe office. Las Vegas is going to be our support and engineering headquarters. We're hiring someone like 10 people at the moment for different roles within inside our organization. I mentioned to Joe earlier that our interview process can be a little bit different.
Well, of course, we would expect that.
you know, we've toyed with the idea of, you know, getting them to put furniture together. No, we've got a great guy here in Tempe. Just do not ask him to put furniture together. Atta, that's you if you're listening. And, you know, there's certain things you learn when you work with people. And so if you can get that into the interview process, we can weed out cultural issues really early. We've, you know, we stage crisis and things like that to see, you know, whether they'll help or contribute or whether they withdraw and look to see what happens there. And you have to do something a little bit different in this day and age because everyone's in interview mode, you know, and you don't want to get 3 months down the line, spent the money recruiting the time and realize, you know what, you're great technically, but culturally you don't fit. And so we hire for culture and we grow the talent internally. So for us, you know, we're going to be growing and establishing, you know, the team here over the next sort of 6 months. But, you know, we're pushing a lot of new services, this year that we've been building our expertise around. You know, so you're going to see a lot more things like there's prepackaged solutions for DevOps that will help just really energize and really accelerate adoptions with inside the organizations. And we also have HA Tech Academy, which we run every Saturday in Vegas last quarter. We'll start doing it in Arizona shortly. But that's basically free DevOps training in our office. So if you want to learn something about Jenkins, or you want to learn something about AWS, or you want to learn how you should automate something, then Saturday morning for a couple of hours, we have this open community-based training in our offices. You get to meet the team, talk to us, talk to the people who do it every day. And then we put it on Twitch. And so if you go to Twitch, you'll see there's a HA Tech DevOps channel on Twitch. And you'll see like the last eight training sessions that we've done. They're completely free. There's training materials, credits from our vendors and our partners to get free access to those systems as well. So again, building out the awareness of what DevOps is, both culturally and technology, and then growing that industry, really.
Exciting.
Well, I think a fortuitous turn for us to bump into each other and get to know each other at the AZ Tech Council event a few months back, and I'm so glad that we did, and great to have you come on Business Radio X and share your story, because I think it's a success story that people need to hear and probably emulate to help themselves become successful as well, understanding that people really are at the core of everything that we do. So thanks both of you for coming on today.
I appreciate it.
And sharing your story.
A lot of fun. Folks can get a hold of you where we can find you.
HATech.io. And they can also email me directly. They can do the sales at HATech.io or my email address, twaring@HATech.io.
Wonderful. So fun. And I'm going to check my calendar for the Dude event coming up on March 15th,
14th.
Right? 14th. Or 14th,
Thursday evening, 5 o'clock.
Very good.
5 till whenever.
Right. Exactly. Good. Beer's on the not on the house, but on you.
On us. Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you again, both. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.
And I'm Joe Puz.
Thanks again.